Dwala Talk Nation, welcome back in for podcast number 5. This is guaranteed to be one of the best episodes we have done so far. Reason being, we are sitting down with Miss Jenny Kopack of Inspired Mobility, a locally owned, independently operated physical therapy and rehab facility. So we are back again with myself, Jake Francis, and my beautiful wife, Corinne. And she's going to take you guys from here, getting a little background info on Miss Jenny Kopack.
Hey, guys. All right. So we have Jenny here today, and she's going to start off by giving us a brief background on her personal, well, not personal, but like on herself in general. And then we're going to go into the business side.
Yeah. So my name's Jenny Kopack. I'm, goodness, a physical therapist now for over 20 years and a yoga teacher as well. So I come from little old Cross Lanes, West Virginia, small town in Appalachia. Went to school up in the Boston area at Boston University and spent a majority of what I call my adult life in the New York City area, only to relocate down here to Marietta, Georgia about 6 years ago.
New York City and Marietta, Georgia, pretty similar places.
Very. Let me tell you. Manhattan and East Cobb, one in the same.
They're about the same.
I'm the mom of two awesome kids, a Tritt Elementary School little girl and a 8th grade boy at Hightower, both little athletes in and of themselves. So that's me in a nutshell.
All right, Miss Jenny. For the people out there that know of physical therapy and those that don't know about physical therapy, I want you to tell me what your vision or definition of physical therapy is, and just kind of why you ended up getting into this field. There's so many different ways you can work on health and wellness. So what brought you into physical therapy and what made you honestly stick around? Because not everybody sticks around in the field they choose. So just give us a little bit of info on kind of your history with physical therapy.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think as healthcare continues to change and evolve, physical therapy has been around forever. It actually started out of, I think, either World War II or polio epidemic, one of the two, where we really looked at ultimately maximizing someone's function. Physical therapists are all about maximizing your function and potential given what you have. We started out of a rehabilitation mindset. That means you were hurt first. You saw a doctor. Whatever happened to you, whether it was surgical, whether it was an accident, a trauma, something, and now we have to put the parts back together again to make you as functional as possible.
I think that's still kind of the main mindset.
Totally.
If you walked down the street and you said to 100 people, what is physical therapy? I think the number one thing is I have to be injured to do physical therapy.
Absolutely, 100%. And what we've seen and the goal of our profession over time has really been to shift that model to something called direct access. Some people are aware of what direct access means, others aren't. But basically what that means now, and in most states in the United States, and I don't know the exact number yet, but definitely in Georgia, direct access is in play. And what that means is you can come to see a physical therapist without a physician prescription. So you don't need to go to the doctor first. There isn't a gatekeeper to physical therapy anymore.
And how long has that been? Because it's only been a few years, right? Because I remember, at least when I was injured back in high school, I don't think there were, or at least maybe I didn't know about it. Maybe I wasn't.
You would be right.
Don't think in 2009 that was even an option. I had to go to a doctor.
Probably not. And I'm remiss to know the exact date it changed in Georgia.
But I
could say, you know, again, starting my career in New York, we didn't gain direct access in New York until about 2008. And then, unfortunately, it wasn't able to be practiced because insurance companies, from a reimbursement perspective, still said, if you're going to get reimbursed, you need to have a physician's prescription first. That's actually been changing. And some of the work that I was able to do with the Goldman Sachs team up in New York changed that, where we really looked at the fact that if you can see a physical therapist sooner in your injury process, and you're not having to see the physician, wait till you get imaging done, go back and get your results, then get a referral. Now you're 4 weeks out from hurting your back. Mm-hmm. If I had gotten you within 48 hours, I can teach you how to, okay, Jake, be careful doing these things, work in this motion, protect yourself here, use this ice, et cetera, whatever, so that you can keep moving in a safe way while you recover through your injury. And then we can keep progressing that step by step versus you're 4 weeks in pain.
Yeah.
You're paralyzed.
Because the physician is
they play a very important role, but it's they're doing exactly, you know, their role.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Like you said, they're doing their imaging, they're, but you don't go to the physician, they're not giving you these recommended, even exercises, they're not doing, you know, the soft tissue and the stuff that is actually helping.
That's not their training.
Yeah,
their
exactly.
training
that's,
is to be
I think,
the
yeah.
differential diagnostician,
yeah.
and that is absolutely important.
Yeah.
We need to understand what's going on, what structures are involved,
mm-hmm.
etc. What we're understanding in medicine and where it's changed from a direct access perspective is that physical therapists, for a lot of reasons and ways, are an amazing differential diagnostic tool set for people and individuals
mm-hmm.
in acute injury, as long as it's acute musculoskeletal injury.
Yep.
So we see that in back injuries.
Mm-hmm.
We see that in ankle sprains. We see that in things that have low trauma.
Yep.
What do I mean by that? If you're in a motor vehicle accident,
mm-hmm.
if you have a slip and fall injury, if there is risk that you have dislocated something, fractured something, etc., yes, urgent care, emergency
yep.
care, and a physician is
yep.
where you need to go. But if you do a crazy workout, you're like, oh, I feel a little stiff, maybe
yep.
that's crazy. You go home, you throw some ice on it, you go to bed. The next morning, you go to get out of bed and you can't stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You might not need to go to the emergency room
yeah.
and get on pain meds.
Yeah.
Seeing a physical therapist and helping figure out what movement dysfunction do you have, how did that happen to you,
yep.
we can unkink you a little faster.
Cool.
So we kind of just touched on a question we were going to ask about how has PT changed throughout the years, which Jenny kind of already hit the point saying it's direct access, where, you know, a decade ago it wasn't as easy to go see a physical therapist. You had to go through basically like hoops and circles and obstacles to
mm-hmm.
to even sit down and see one. So now you can actually call Jenny.
Absolutely.
And go see her same day. So because of the PT changes, why did you decide to open up your own practice and do your own thing now? Like what was the driving force?
Sure. So I think it's a fewfold. You know, I've been in this business for 20 years now, all in orthopedics and sports medicine. In corporate wellness and integrative medicine. I mentioned that I'm a yogi as well. And I think I learned very quickly over the years that my job is basically to put myself out of practice. My job is to teach you how to take care of yourself. Now, during that process, you may need more personal one-on-one intervention, whether it's soft tissue, dry needling, active stretching, etc., coaching through, learning how to move the right way. But ultimately, my goal is to teach you how to take care of yourself and prevent those injuries from happening in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been one to think that teaching someone how to feel their body, be present in their body, and know how it works best, when it works best, is the best medicine. Movement is medicine. We know that. For me, breath is fuel. Breath is some gel there. But what I found, PT has changed. So when I first came out of school, managed care was hitting the world. There were many places in New York City where we booked 6 people an hour. Yes, you heard me. I was booked on the 15 or the 10s, doubled up.
And that's amazing because Jenny loves to chat.
Can you imagine? Like, what a crazy match.
We actually just had to cut off our PT session to do this podcast because Jenny and I were just sitting in there talking so much.
But
exactly.
And for those of you that don't know Jenny, the number one feedback I get back about her is that she truly she loves to learn about her patients and get to know them on a personal level. She's not just treating you like a fast food drive-through.
No, not at all.
And there are still models like that, though,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's
well,
plenty
the challenge
of places
is, you know, as reimbursement rates change,
mm-hmm.
It's harder to break even.
Yeah.
So that's the other. I chose to be my own private practice, A, so that I can function out of network. That
mm-hmm.
does mean I don't accept insurance. I am a fee-for-service basis. But I think that you will find you get more value for your money.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
When you see me, you get me the whole hour,
mm-hmm.
one-on-one every time. And it's not about, for me, you've gotten hurt, or maybe you haven't gotten hurt. I have clients who come to see me. I had one 2 weeks ago. He's like, Jenny, I want to hike the Georgia portion of the Appalachian Trail. I don't want to get hurt. I'm a marathon runner. What do I need to do? He has no injury. He has no
yeah.
problems.
Mm-hmm.
We dove into, all right, let's take a whole body look at what you look like posturally. Where are you weak? Where are you strong? Where are you flexible? Where are you inflexible? What have you been doing training-wise to date? Where can we change your training regimen? How can we work on and discuss recovery?
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, what are you doing in the other part of your life?
Right.
So when you're training, we're really aware of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We may not be as aware of what we're doing in the other part of our life.
So this is a phenomenon that we see a lot in classes where we'll have clients come in and they'll come in and they'll be like, man, I really hurt my back or I really hurt my knee this weekend. And my thought is, oh no, did you maybe fall on a box jump? Did you, you know, power clean something too heavy? And they'll be like, no, I picked up my 3-year-old.
Right. Or I was gardening. I pulled weeds.
Yes.
Are you kidding? Gardening, lawn work, weeding. Yeah. It's the one-offs, you know, because how many of them squat well or deadlift well here, but then when they're going to move 5 bags of gravel in the yard,
we're trying to teach functional fitness outside of the gym. The problem is not everyone follows all the rules all the time.
And I think one of the big things, and I know you and I have talked about this, Jenny, and I've talked about it with clients, is how we're sitting at our desk.
Oh my goodness.
We were in the middle of this podcast. We're currently 11 minutes in, and at about 5.5 minutes, I looked at the timer and realized I was sitting like an idiot. I just had a massive back surgery, and I'm sitting over here like I'm hanging out in a hammock. And I quickly realized I was sitting in the room with my PT and I better sit up. So I'm now sitting in the back of my chair. This is when I wish we had video, but I'm sitting with some great posture right now. Yes. And I think that's one of the big things is people don't think about that. But if you're sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and you're doing this 20 years in a row, there's a lot you can do to yourself by just sitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Movement's medicine.
Yeah.
So this brings breath is fuel. This brings it full circle to where, Jenny, it sounds like by you opening up your own practice, you're able to have better quality of treatment with your patients.
Yes, 100%. That is my goal.
And you can really, it's almost, I mean, because I'm assuming when you're in a hospital setting, you're probably categorized in one section where you got post-op from whatever, blank.
Or potentially, yes.
Right, potentially, yes. Yeah. Or you could be as a PT. But here, you can really treat, really, you know, a pretty broad spectrum. Anyone, really.
But you can also treat
how you want to treat.
I think that's the big thing. And I think that's what we can all relate on is, I didn't have to open Dwolla. I could have worked for anyone under the sun. You know, it could have been a sports program or whatever, but I could have been a trainer under a lot of different models. But none of those models appealed to me because I was always answering to someone else on training people the way that they thought they should be trained.
Right, like
versus
other systems,
I would
other
rather
programs.
Learn from myself the ways of training that I thought are best. And that's kind of the same for you. Yours isn't so much training as is in therapy and rehab, but it's we're getting to do it the way that we think is the best model.
Well, and I think for me, you know, like I said, I just opened my practice really here within Dwolla in September.
Mm-hmm. But you are by no means new to physical therapy.
No, I've been doing this for over 20 years, so I've had the opportunity to grow and learn in very different models.
And you've worn a lot of hats. You know, we talked the other day, you've done everything. You know, you've done every level and
absolutely.
This and that.
I've worked in private practice. Mm-hmm. I've worked in hospital-based systems. I've worked in educational clinical models. I've taught other physical therapists, all sorts of different things. And I think that being able to now say, hey, look, I do consider myself an expert in my field. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I'm very humbled by that.
Yeah.
I certainly hope to continue to learn every day with every client and every patient. But I can bring that expertise to the table individually, one-on-one, so that whether it's the first time you've gotten hurt or you are so frustrated because you've been batted around through the system and you're getting nowhere, I really want to sit down with you, dive in, and figure out what's going on. And we work together. I don't begin to pretend to know it all.
Yeah.
It really is a science and an art.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that physical therapy is a science and an art.
Yeah.
Yes. There are questions we need to ask and things we need to look at, big picture, little picture, break it down, put it back together again. The art is making it make sense to you and your body and to fit it in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I find, and the biggest problem that I had previously, and probably one of the reasons I became a yogi and use yoga so much in my practice, is if I give you something to do where you're like, I've got to do 3 sets of 10, of da da da, how long are you going to be compliant with that?
I'll tell you.
Jake, how long were you compliant with that? Let's ask the
guy with spinal fusion.
I got to go home. I got something.
Jake is the worst rule follower.
I'm very bad.
Very bad.
So if we can teach you how to change behavior and do a little bit throughout the course of your day.
Well, that's one of the big things is I've noticed, like, even this might be TMI, but like the way I was standing in the shower today and I realized, oh my gosh, like I'm standing exactly how Jenny told me not to stand. But I think that goes back to like what you're talking about is, I don't know if I'm fortunate to have gone to so many therapists, but I've been to a lot of physical therapists. I've always played contact sports. I'm okay with being injured, to be honest with you. I'm fine with that because I want to use my body in extreme ways, but that's the way that I choose to do it. And that's, again, I'm not telling everybody that's how they should do it, but when I would go to the corporate model, it's kind of like what you said, they would be working on six different people. We never had the chance to get into the little details that Jenny and I are able to, even just like in our last hour, we were able to break down so many movements and how I need to breathe and how I need to stand and what I need to think about. And these are things that, yeah, you might be able to go to the corporate model and do it for a quarter of the price, but I left there with no knowledge. I was shown what to do. I got some soft tissue work done, which was great, and it helped-ish.
Yeah.
But I never left there with the knowledge and afterwards. Right. And I think that's what's cool about this new model of working the one-on-one is I'm actually leaving the room with more knowledge than I got there with. I'm not just getting worked on and then passed along and say, hey, we'll see you in a week or two.
And you bring up a really good point because I think that's something that a lot of good therapists who are working in a corporate model struggle with. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get you to a point where you're quote-unquote functional. Functional in the eyes of an insurance company means you can sit for 2 hours. You can stand for 2 hours. You can lift 20 pounds. You can do transitional movements, sit to stand, supine to sit. That means get up out of bed, get into and out of your car with less than 3 out of 10 pain. Whether or not you return to your favorite recreational activities may or may not be a priority depending on how long you've been in therapy. But guess what? Depending on what you're dealing with, see, and this is the other thing, having to see you 2 times a week for 4 weeks, I would rather spend those 8 visits over the course of 3 months. Maybe it's more appropriate for me in the beginning to see you twice a week for a week and then not see you for 2 weeks because you got to work on something until I'm going to see you again. Mm-hmm. Why can't we be more efficient, not only in the hour I get to have you one-on-one, mm-hmm. but through the course of your healing?
Yeah.
Long term.
So like you've had surgery, you get to see me for a month and then sarah, sarah. Normal tissue healing time is at least 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So we didn't even get to running.
Yeah.
You're so excited when we get to release you to running. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And guess what? You got to learn to run again for the first time because your body doesn't remember how.
Yeah.
So we're going to break it down. We may spend a session, 2 sessions, depends on how quickly you pick it up, on breaking down and putting back together running.
You're saying we're going to have to buy a true form.
Yeah, and figuring out how to play with that. And so if you're an athlete, that's the difference between seeing an orthopedic physical therapist who are amazing and wonderful and someone who specializes in sports. It's understanding the mindset of an athlete and understanding that that person needs to be engaged and moving even when they're non-weight bearing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do I help that person in their mindset make it through the entire healing process back to marathon running?
So I think one of the cool parts about Jenny is that with her 20 years of experience,
Make me feel old.
No, but it's a huge plus because from my perspective, you know, you're bringing years of wisdom where you've worn all these different hats, where you've learned the different ins and outs of each position as a physical therapist, both teaching it and practicing it, in both different settings, private and hospital, et cetera, et cetera. So when you see patients, you are bringing with you to that session, you know, this wealth of knowledge where a lot of times, sometimes PTs don't have that as much experience to pull back from. So, you know, you are opening up your practice where you've learned from the wheel and now you're making not that you're reinventing PT, but you're able to practice it the way that now you feel like you're most able to see progress and help your patients after having learned from 20 years of
absolutely
all that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a gift to me too.
That's huge.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel very blessed to be in this position in my life and my career where I can do that and do it the way I want to do it and work with those who are motivated to get better too.
And we probably have more fun too now.
Oh yeah. We have, yes.
I'm sure it's more fun. Even just thinking about coaching and now I've been doing it almost 10 years. I did it very unofficially early on. I was helping a trainer who owned a studio, but it's just like the knowledge that you can gain over those 10 years and how much more confident and like you've seen so many situations, similar situations in people, but even like, you know, in our training, I've worked with so many people that I feel so confident that I can help get someone to a goal or to a, you know, whatever that is. But I'm sure for you, I can't even imagine once I've gotten to 20 years of experience, there's just so many people you've worked with. You've seen everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And you're using all of that past knowledge as like your resource.
Well,
and that's why the way I think about it when I'm coaching is like, I've seen so many of this, that, and the other that it helps me then help modify or adjust or scale for this person because I've seen it before. You know, this isn't the first person who's come to me with a bad shoulder or, you name it.
And I think, you know, in looking at my history, like you said, you know, I think back to the private practice I worked with on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Tony Serenitti, sports physical therapy. It's now been sold and resold. But Tony was one of the first PTs, one of the first sports PTs in Manhattan, worked with Dr. Nicholas and the Rangers. And he hired Marika, who was one of the first performance physical therapists to work with New York City Ballet and Broadway. And I got to be a little PT sponge 2 years out
That's awesome.
Under these two people. So yes, Tony saw most of the Rangers. And yes, Marika saw a lot of the dancers. But guess what? They're only two people.
Yeah.
So when you have overflow and you're in a big space, I got to work in some cool situations.
And you soak up what they're doing. Even if you're not the one doing the physical work, you're still soaking up that. That's even like when I go to other gyms or if I'm watching things online, I'm soaking up what those coaches are doing because it's just it's such a great
what they're doing and sometimes what they're not doing too.
Absolutely.
It's funny being when you're just observing, you'll pick up on all these positive, really interesting, exciting things that someone in your field is doing.
Right.
I'm talking about coaching. You're talking about PT. But sometimes you'll also see, because everyone's different, you'll maybe see little holes where you're like, hey, maybe I could have done this.
Right. What if I try that?
Right.
What if this would work here? Or you go and you see how Tony works with the sports person and Marika works with the performance person.
Different
and you say, oh my gosh, you can do both with you. And whoa, mind blown.
Yeah.
The football, the hockey player in this case is doing ballet type moves.
Right.
And he's like, I hate you because that's so hard.
It's so hard.
And you're like,
that's
hard.
It.
Yeah.
You know, and then having the opportunity to take that as once I became a yoga instructor to the hospital for special surgery and really running and developing integrative models both in non-operative care, post-operative care, and then ultimately into sports and performance. So bringing those models to professional athletes, USOC athletes, and the everyday recreational athlete. We're all the same.
Right. Let's talk about that because we were touching on the point earlier that a lot of times, or really, you know, a decade ago, 20 years ago, you would think about a physical therapist and you would think, oh, I need a script for my doctor to go see PT because I must have had some injury or trauma.
Right.
But nowadays, physical therapists, and I can speak to this as well, seeing a physical therapist is just as important for professional athletes. Not that I was a professional athlete, but I was a competitive CrossFitter for a while there.
Yes.
Why is it so I know now with my experience that seeing a physical therapist is just as important as my training.
Yes.
And physical therapy is my recovery.
Yes.
Just like my nutrition and my sleep is.
Yes.
So why, and for those at home that are sitting there thinking, well, why the heck would I go see a PT if I don't have a torn shoulder, if I don't have a twisted ankle? Wait, how can a PT help me as a professional athlete to be a better human being? Be a better athlete.
Yeah, so that's an awesome question. And if we really think about, and I was talking to a bunch of adorable little fourth and fifth grade girls who were starting to run, and I asked them the question, I said, if you were, you know, how much do you run? And they're like, oh, we go do a 5K. How long does that take you? About 30 minutes. I'm like, game on, girls. 30 minutes for a 5K. I think that's pretty good. I'm not sure how fast fourth and fifth graders run. And I said, so when you're planning to go out for a run, you're planning your workout, how much time do you plan? And they're like, well, 30 minutes. And I said, wrong. So this is why you need to start talking to a PT. How are you activating and warming up? And how are you recovering and cooling down? How are you doing it specific to your sport?
Yes, that's
and
great.
How
that's
are you doing it
there.
Specific to your body?
Mm-hmm.
So we can YouTube a lot of things.
Right.
We can Google a lot of things. And, you know, having worked with a lot of runners and CrossFit, anybody,
right.
If you're someone who wants to do well at what you do, you research your sport. Mm-hmm. You look things up. Oh, should I stick a ball here and roll this out? Should I do clamshells to activate my glutes? Should I? There are a lot of different things you can do. Seeing a physical therapist when you're not hurt, we're going to screen you. I'm going to look at your anatomy and your function. We're going to talk about what it is you're doing now, what your goals are, and scale a template for you to activate and recover. It may include a series of exercises. It may include foam rolling or whatnot that you're going to do to yourself. It may include manual treatments. Maybe you need soft tissue mobilizations. Maybe you need joint mobilizations. Maybe cupping or dry needling for recovery is important for where you are right now because of the volume and load that you're doing. So it's really starting to understand you as an individual, what your body looks like, how it functions,
and what it needs.
And what it needs to do, and what it needs to do to recover for you to be as successful as you want to be.
Right. And so an example of this, because this can all be a little confusing. So for let's say a cross-country runner, for example, mm-hmm. never seen a PT before, and she's complaining of, let's say, and we don't have to do a diagnosis, but this is a generic example of how you would be able to help them. Cross-country runner runs her race every time she ends with unbearable shin pain. And she goes down the rabbit hole of Google.com and starts looking at mobility this, stretching that, warm up this, warm up that. So she has these 30 billion options that Google brings up,
mm-hmm.
but she's not a practitioner. She doesn't mm-hmm. know which one applies the most to her. So instead of being overwhelmed and literally is going down the rabbit hole when you go mm-hmm. online, and there's, mm-hmm. sometimes there's almost too much information. Mm-hmm. And you're also not, you don't have experience enough to be able to assess yourself.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, why does her shin hurt? And
exactly.
if she comes to see a physical therapist,
they will streamline for you and tell you, we need to do a better warm up and we need to do more mobility, not before, but maybe after or after
or
this
maybe
or whatever.
It's your form.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe it's your shoes.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's a combination of both. Or maybe you're just training too much.
For sure.
Ding,
so
ding, ding,
this
ding.
Is, so
this or
is,
maybe.
And I have to jump in on this one. So I've got a really long background in the two sports I was probably, I would say, good at were football and wrestling. But the one thing in wrestling that you see, the biggest fault that I see is the idea that parents think their kids have to wrestle year round.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
don't
not,
get me started on
and,
you.
And yeah, so I'm and so I'm not opposed to you know, going to the upper levels, because I did some of that for my sports and whatnot. But it's the idea that parents think they're, because most parents, when their kids are at this level, they want them to go get a scholarship, right? They're not going to disown their child if they don't,
no.
but they enjoy the process of their child having the opportunity to go to the next level and all this. And the idea is, oh, we just need to give him more. He needs to wrestle more. He needs to wrestle every day but Sunday, you know, and do all of this and all of this and all of this. And they're dealing with these nagging injuries, and they're not learning all of the back end stuff. They're not learning how to take care of their body. They're not learning the proper nutrition, because the only idea is that if I just keep adding volume, if I just keep adding to this and adding, I'm going to be the best at it,
mm-hmm.
right? But then they're not taking care of anything. And I think that's a lot of what I did growing up is I played year-round sports. It wasn't the same sport, but I went directly from baseball into football, football into wrestling. I had 5 days off a year where I wish I would have taken away one of those sports and seen a physical therapist.
But can I tell you one thing? You've hit the nail on the head. And having worked with professional level and Olympic level athletes, do you know the difference between, let's say, you know, a 6'4"3?
Shout out Danny Praga.
We love 6'4"3.
I don't think you're ever going to hear this, Danny, but
I know, but
so
I do. So 6'4"3, East Cobb. I'm just saying, you're a premier pitcher, and one that's going to get drafted to go play in the minor leagues and potentially pulled up.
Yep.
Do you know the difference? That's not just skill. And I know skill is important. Don't get me wrong. Coaching and skill is important. It is how much time they spend doing strengthening activation. It's not how much they throw.
And doing smart things.
Smart things.
Again,
it's not, you know,
you
we know
Google.
With pitching, and I'll say with pitching,
yeah.
we know this, and pitching coaches know this. Parents are probably hoping to get know this. All of us, please. I worked with Dr. Olchek at the Hospital for Special Surgery, who is like the northern version of Dr. Andrews down here. Actually, Dr. Olchek perfected Tommy John and ulnar collateral ligament release. So we saw a ton of kids and professionals from all over, worked on those protocols and paradigms, post-op and whatnot, what have you. And what we know the most, you can listen to Dr. Andrews, you can listen to Dr. Olchek, you can listen to the ATs, athletic trainers, physical therapists, even skills coaches who will tell you, even professional pitchers who will tell you, the number of pitches you throw in your lifetime determines how well that arm works. Mm-hmm. Tommy John surgery was originally meant as for like end of career.
Yeah.
Late 20s, 30-year-olds.
And now you're hearing of people having multiple
in as a career.
I've got friends who had made it to the minors, you call it the bigs, whatever. And they've already had two or three Tommy John surgeries.
Well, and so it's not just volume, but it's also understanding that it's not throwing more.
Yeah.
It's not how many I need to be in a throwing program. I need to do the long throw. I need to do the short toss.
You got
to
go long toss.
I got to do long toss. No, you need to have girdle control.
Yep.
You need to have core control, and especially with these young kids who are growing like baby giraffes, mm-hmm. where they're on and then they're like woo, and then they're on again. They need to understand how to control their bodies and be strong through their bodies.
Yeah.
As that's happening, not mm-hmm. just throw more.
Yeah,
and so. The difference between a really good travel recreational athlete and one that makes it to the Olympics and, mm-hmm. and professional is they spend as much mm-hmm. time strengthening and recovering for their sport. And did you hear me? Strengthening and
recovering
for their sport as they do practicing their sport.
Yep.
I think that sentence right there is summarizing what physical therapy is today. Mm-hmm. It's direct access and mm-hmm. strengthening for those that are maybe already injured mm-hmm. or have some kind of actual current trauma, but it's also recovery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this kind of goes back to our talk a couple weeks ago. Jenny and I were talking about Tom Brady, but he is one of the best. And yes, Tom Brady has more money than everyone listening to his podcast. Like,
right.
Get over it. But he uses he uses that money for
recovery.
He does cryotherapy. I guarantee you he has a chiropractor. I guarantee you he has a PT. I guarantee you he has a massage therapist. And I'm not saying you have to do all of these.
No.
Like, I get it. That's a lot. But spending the time not saying, I need to go run more, I need to go pitch more. You're not going to forget how to pitch in the off season, but if you can learn to control the arm and learn all of these things like you were talking about, and
building the appropriate strength.
Yes. You know, that's not just going and doing a bunch of lifts.
Well, it's and you're
a
not training type, the same way every day.
Yeah, and it's a different type of strength that you're talking
and
about
what
also.
We understand and what we're starting to understand in sports science, you know, just like we don't train the same way every day, we don't mm-hmm. recover the same way every day.
Yep.
Our bodies are brilliant at accommodating to the same stimulus all the time.
Yep.
So when we can change that stimulus, whether it's an activation stimulus, a strength stimulus, a skill stimulus, mm-hmm. or a recovery stimulus, it's really controlled by the brain, folks. So the more we learn how to change those parameters up so that it optimizes our body, the better we are. And that's mm-hmm. really where a physical therapist can help. It really is.
So if you're sitting at home and I'm going to bring this full circle. Let's say you are a weightlifter or an athlete or a CrossFitter or whatever, and you get injured, you know, you can call Jenny. She'll help treat you for the long term. But also, if you have, maybe you've stopped progressing in the deadlift or a strict press, or maybe you've tried, let's say, you know, strict pull-ups for a while, it's not happening, and even though your coach is doing their best and they're giving you progressions, but you know you're not quite moving the right way and this progress has stopped, a physical therapist still applies in the situation where they could do an assessment on you
mm-hmm.
and like, you know what, it's
and
actually something
work
in
with
your
coach
right.
to help you move to the next level.
Exactly.
And that's the brilliance. I mean, physical therapy is part of a continuum of care.
Yeah.
When we're talking about an athlete, that continuum, that integrative medicine really mm-hmm. means these are the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Your physician, your physical therapist, your athletic trainer, you, your skills coach, your massage therapist, your acupuncturist, mm-hmm. your chiropractor, whomever is on your team, we all work together and pass the baton to help you be the best you can
mm-hmm.
be. That's really what that's about.
One of the cool parts of Jenny working out of CrossFit Dwolla is the patients that she sees here that happen to attend our classes. I know we had a lady this time last year tore her MCL or ACL, and afterwards, mm-hmm. Jenny, part of her treatment plan, wrote up, hey, person, these are the things that you're going to give your coach that you cannot do these things, but you can do these things and to avoid these things. And I had a printout list that was laminated. Every mm-hmm. day this person would come into my class, I would check my list, look at that day's workout, Speaking of which,
Jake just got a laminated list that we may have gone through.
Yeah. I know, I'm already excited. I get to work out today. If anybody's hanging out, today is
5:30.
Thursday.
I'm Take gonna be pictures. Work, you I'm can gonna be send them to me. Make sure he doesn't do anything
this afternoon
bad.
If anybody wants to watch me work out.
So,
it's going to be exciting.
Those of you currently at CrossFit Gala, or really, I'm assuming you are a CrossFitter or a weightlifter or you're an athlete in general, that's one of the cool things that Jenny also does is she's able to apply it to your sport and tell you, hey, if you're a swimmer, make sure you're avoiding this stroke or this movement. Hey, if you're a weightlifter, why don't you avoid this or this or do this instead for a while?
Or this is your volume limit for now.
Exactly.
This is your load limit for now. Focus on this accessory movement.
But
until that's
it,
clean, then you get to do that.
Right.
So you understand your progression. I'm not just saying you'll never be able to do this again.
And she puts it into your language of your sport. And that's a really key piece of her being able to treat CrossFitters at Dwala is because she is here, she does the workouts too, she knows what the movements are, she knows the language behind what we do, and it's all communication, so she better communicate. Not with just the patient, but with just the coaches too. So anyhow, she has a patient in like 4 minutes, so we're going to wrap this up. Anything else you want to add in? Or
I think that's it. Jenny, how can people get in contact with you? What's the easiest way to get in contact with you, other than just showing up at Dwala?
Yeah, other than showing up at Dwala, the easiest way, you know, you can follow me at #InspiredMobilityPT or at InspiredMobilityPT. You can private message me that way through Facebook or Instagram. You can also contact me via phone, old school, whether you want to text or call me. And that number is 917-334-9108.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in again. If you have any questions for Jenny, this will be on Facebook, Instagram, all those fun things. Feel free to comment on there. She'll respond back, or I'll respond back with her response. So just if you have anything to add to this, please let us know. We are open to any and all subjects you guys want to chat about.
Absolutely.